Okay, I'm here with Mike Dutta at the Tally Room. Mike was an independent candidate for the seat of Clark in this state election. How's it been going for you?
Well, it's been pretty good. You know, I'm not disappointed at all. The whole reason was to make sure that we are supporting the independents, and the two independents are doing pretty well. So we are quite happy about that, and it's a long way to go. And as long as if you win one seat in Clark for the independents, that will be quite an achievement.
So you've been out campaigning for, it was about 5 weeks, this campaign. What have you learnt during that time about politics and maybe about campaigning or even about yourself as a candidate?
Well, there are a number of things. Firstly, you know, I came into this late. It was about the last 3 weeks that I've been doing that. Now, what I've learned is that you are very limited when it comes to financially doing things. Because I didn't take any donations from anyone, it really straps you down with regards to advertising, putting your name out there. And I think that is a very important aspect of name recognition. So that's one particular aspect. Number two is that I think what I've learned is that we can work together, you know, as a group. So we're working together with independents. You know, we have been supporting each other. And so that has been quite a good thing, that it can happen.
So what's the political future for Mike Dutta?
Well, the political future for me, I will continue as the councillor at the Hobart City Council. I've got another year and a half to go. And then all depends at that particular stage. If I am still fit and I feel that I want to go for another term, I will then stand for the Hobart City Council election. And then I suppose, you know, age is catching up with me. The state election may not be the way to go then.
So you're over 21 now?
I am over 21. Yes, I am.
Thanks very much, Mike.
Okay, my pleasure always. Thank you so much.
All right, we're flirting with the enemy here. I have Bob Burton, who's one of the team involved in Tasmania Inquirer, another independent media outlet. How do you view the results as they're coming in?
Well, the critical question is what happens with Liberals in Clark and whether they get the second quota. If they do, then they've got government. And then it's just a matter of which of the two independents gets up. And also within the Liberal Party, whether it's, if there's a second Liberal, it's a very close contest between Simon Baracus and Madeleine Ogilvie at the moment.
So what have been your experiences trying to cover this campaign as an independent journalist?
Well, our constraint really is time, but yeah, there's ample access to the major parties' announcements. There's a lot more opportunities in a way because they're trying to put forward as much as possible. But you know, you also got Gutwin spends, he's very disciplined about having very short press conferences, whereas Labor and Liberals tend to be less structured and constrained. The Greens tend to be a bit more open-ended. Sometimes Labor will curtail their media conferences when they think the questions are going in a direction they don't want. Certainly Gutwin uses that, you know, tightly capping the media conference to stop it being open-ended and having to answer lots and lots of questions. You know, whereas what we've seen, say, in COVID with, in Dan Andrews, where he'd do hour-long media conferences, you know, that doesn't happen here. So that means, you know, that it tends to be a narrower range of questions that are asked, and we've got a reasonably small press pack here, so there's a lot of topics that don't get pushed.
So after this election coming up later in this year, what do you think the major stories will be in Tasmanian politics?
Well, I mean, obviously the government, I think the government would be disappointed with the result, even if they get back with a one-seat majority. I think the only reason for going to an early election was to get a commanding result based on their COVID response, and what they're going to end up with is being exactly where they were on the first day of the election campaign with 13 seats, because when they went to the governor they said we've only got 12, even though because Sue Hickey had said that she would leave the Liberal Party and run as an independent, but then they got Madeleine Ogilvie, so they had 13, and it looks like their best case scenario now is they'll have 13 again. So it was a pointless exercise. I think it does damage to Gutwin's standing. There'll be lingering questions over what happens. It depends what happens in Braddon with whether Adam Brooks gets up or not. So, you know, there's the same old governance questions, same old issues of secrecy, and no doubt the government will start rolling out more of their controversial policies that they weren't game to talk about in the election, whether it be allocation of new salmon licences, whether it's logging operations, anti-protest bills, you know, the privatisation of national parks. All of those issues will are more likely to come to the fore after the government.
I was going through the policies on the Liberals' website today, and there's actually an incredibly large number of them. So it appears to me they've made a lot of relatively small promises rather than sort of one or two sort of big signature policies. Is that kind of how you've seen the election?
And very targeted at particular niches. You know, they've had policies for the West Coast. They've had a policy for Flinders Island. They've had a policy for King Island. So they've targeted very specific niches. And then there's been a lot of stuff which is, you know, the whole thing about allocations for sporting clubs, sporting associations, lots of sport announcements, you know, refurbishment of ovals and stadium announcements. And so there's been lots of that, less on the some of the more substantive issues. Nothing from the government that I saw on basic governance reforms. Political donations disclosure was an issue that they were on the back foot about all the time. They've said nothing about reform or improvement of their handling of right to information. It doesn't need reform so much of the legislation, it's the implementation of it by the government, and that's totally under their control.
All right, thanks very much, Bob.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm here with Dr. Bastian Seidel in the tally room. What's your impression of the results as they stand?
Oh, look, I've just come in, so I haven't checked the results for an hour now. So, look, you know, so far so good. It's going to be a long night, in particular with regards to the seats in Clark. So, look, let's see what happens.
This was your first election as a Member of Parliament. What have been your experiences during the campaign?
Look, it was quite a challenging campaign for Labour, as you can imagine, certainly in the first couple of weeks. But, you know, certainly was very clear that health was the number one issue in the electorate, no matter where we went. And in the last 2.5 weeks, it became really apparent that health was resonating extremely well with the electorate. And people sort of, you know, were asking for answers, really. And the government couldn't give them any answers about, you know, the $1.6 billion cuts to health in the last 7 years, having no solution whatsoever about the over 50,000 people who are waiting on outpatient waiting lists, 12,000 patients who are waiting for necessary surgery. And, you know, we could offer solutions with our health action plans. That actually worked really well.
You're still relatively young and still relatively new to politics. So what do you think you've learned about yourself during this time?
It's actually a privilege to work with a great team, and the Labour team has been absolutely superb, you know, in developing policies that do make sense and are evidence-based. And it was indeed a privilege to work with each and every one of them. You know, Rebecca White was outstanding. She was out and about each and every day, no matter what. She was on top of the brief, you know, and she's been a true inspiration for me. And so there are lots of learnings for us, you know, how to move forward now. But, you know, again, it's been a good campaign. You know, after all, we could talk about the issues that, you know, are important to people on the ground, and that is number one, health. It is about housing. It's about jobs.
You've probably been all over Tasmania and done a lot of kilometres in the last month, so perhaps you can have a long sleep tonight. What are you most looking forward to in the post-election?
I had to change tyres in the car once because I just run down. Look, there will be, you know, a couple of days off to spend with the family because I haven't seen my boys, you know, for quite some time now. They're always in bed when I come home, and often I left early in the morning because they were up, and it's just nice to spend a few days, you know, with them, and let's see what happens after.
Great, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Elections come, elections go. How do you think this one will in the end be remembered?
I think this will be remembered as Gutman's folly for going too early. My read on it at the moment is that Clark will be the interesting seat, and I can see that going 2 Liberal, 1 Labor, 1 Green, and either Johnson or Hickey, probably Johnson, to pick up the 5th seat. And there you'll be. 12. And the only thing that will change is the surname of the person with the balance of power.
Who do you think might end up being Speaker in this Parliament?
It would be an interesting little call. I haven't discussed it with anyone, but I wouldn't mind. They might go for Christa Johnston as the independent.
The campaign was about 5 weeks, and in some ways it was a little bit more off-the-cuff sort of campaign because people were less prepared. Do you think that was like a good thing or a bad thing?
I think there might... There's a bit of disquiet out there in voterland about running off to an election a year before you had to, when you haven't finished the job you set up to do. As they found out in England, as Theresa May found out, as you know, people... The punters out there actually don't like going to elections more than they have to.
Yeah.
And there's a bit of a backlash for that. And I think if you have a look, the independents would have got... This is probably the best vote of non-party aligned people in many elections that I can remember. And particularly have a look at Craig Garland. 3,200 votes in the heartland. His vote alone, I reckon, has cost the party their fourth Bradley seat.
I was having a look at the Liberals' website tonight. There's an enormous amount of promises on there, but most of them are fairly small, and there's like health for the Northwest, health for the Northeast, something for Sorell, something for Queenstown. Do you think that was like a good strategy to try to distribute the largesse very evenly across Tasmania?
Across the northern seaboard would be a good way of putting it, but if you look at those policies, there's a lot of Tweedledee and Tweedledum in there with marginal things at the edges. The big issue really, I think, for me becomes, let's get some more of those central moderates in there, like the Dean Winters. It's a pity Beck Enders hasn't made it. But if we get more of those moderate independents rather than the extreme right or the extreme left, then we start to get a parliament that's full of people who are attuned to what we want rather than what their factional bosses and their internal power plays want.
And you're a Clarence man, so how do you think this parliament is going to work out for the kinds of things that you want to do in Clarence?
As always, I think the parties are Tweedledum and Tweedledee. I think if you look at their strategy, you'll see very much the things that I've been banging on in the media about the Flagstaff Gully Link Road, and neither of them have grappled with the fact that clearing all the back logs at airport roundabouts or the southern outlet just kicks the can down the road, and every time they solve one of these back logs, they are adding to the risk of gridlock.
Please welcome the leader of the Labor Party, Rebecca White.